This evening we're going to look at Jude 17 through 24. Jude 17 through 24. Jude writes, "But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, 'In the last time there will be scoffers, following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in the most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire, and to others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen." Let's pray, church. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for the book of Jude. Thank you for this opportunity we have to submit to your word. Yes. Lord, I am grateful to you to be able to be used by you. Lord, I pray that only you would be glorified in these few moments. May your people hear your word, not mine. It's in your name we pray. Amen. "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." These are the words of Jesus Christ himself recorded in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. With these words, the good teacher, Jesus Christ, is teaching his disciples that he will soon leave them and go to be with his Father, God the Father, in heaven. Of course, if we know how the Gospel of John unfolds, which I hope we do, because we've been in it for almost 2 years now, we know what happens soon. Jesus will eventually be arrested. He will be crucified on a cross where he would die. He would then prove himself to be the Son of God once again by defeating death and rising from the grave. And then some days after his resurrection, Jesus would fulfill the first part of this promise by leaving his apostles and ascending to the throne next to his Father in heaven. This is where the Bible teaches us Jesus is now. In that same teaching, Jesus made another promise to his followers in verse 3. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." In one statement, Jesus has promised to leave earth and come back to retrieve his bride, the church, to take us home to be with him in the Father's house. That day on which Christ will return, known as the day of the Lord, is the day when all sin will be judged. The time between those days, the first and the second comings of Christ, well, that is our time. That is now. Christ has come to earth. Christ has died, and he has been resurrected, and he has ascended to his Father. But Christ has not come back to take us home yet. We live in what Jude calls the last time. We know Christ's work, and we await his return. Over the last few weeks, we have looked at the book of Jude, and we have learned how we, the church redeemed by Christ, are to live within these last days, especially in regards to the protection of the truth of Christ and his grace. Jude tells us that we are to contend for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. And we are to contend against the false teachers that have crept into the church and those teachers that work to corrupt the church from the inside out by spreading lies. Lies that are so dangerous because they serve to convince lost sinners of false gospels. And false gospels only send people to hell. We, the church, are to fight those false teachers for the truth of the gospel and the purity of the church until that day when Christ returns to take us home to glory, where there will be no sin and there will be no false gospels. As he is working toward the close of his letter, Jude reminds us of the great truth that God was not surprised or God was not thrown off guard by the arrival of these false teachers. Now, God knew that his enemy, that cunning serpent from the garden, Satan, would raise up servants in an attempt to corrupt the bride of Christ. So God, at the seedling level of his church, those beginning stages recorded in Scripture, instructed his own servants to prepare the church for those false teachers. This is what we read about in Jude 17 through 19. Jude again writes, "But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, 'In the last time there will be scoffers, following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause division, worldly people devoid of the Spirit.'" The apostles, those men who studied, who walked with Jesus Christ and were handed down the teachings from him. This is how I want my church to be led and to grow. They spoke of these prideful, boastful scoffers or enemies of the church that will and have crept into the church in the last day. Again, our own days. These scoffers, these false teachers, will not follow God's will for his redeemed church, but they will instead follow their own ungodly, sinful passions. These false teachers, they do not unite. Jude tells us they only divide the body. They are not godly, they are not Christ-like, but they are worldly. They are devoid of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And that's the final blow to any illusion that these false teachers may actually be in Christ. Because if they are lacking the Holy Spirit of God, who promises to dwell within every redeemed, every saved Christian, then they are indeed not Christians. They are the enemies of God who have come into the church to corrupt and destroy her. We certainly do live in wartime, church. Amen. We are commanded to contend for the gospel against these infiltrating forces. The battle may be hard. The enemy may seem daunting. The war may seem everlasting. But Christ will soon return. And Christians, we must persevere until Christ's return. We must persevere until Christ's return. This is Jude's encouragement for us in this war time between Christ's first coming and his second coming. And so I present this truth to you this evening as our main point. Christians, we must persevere until Christ returns. To persevere, according to the Cambridge Dictionary, is to continue making an effort to do or achieve something, even when that is difficult or takes a long time. Christians, we must persevere until Christ's return. We must persevere in these last days. And for the remainder of our time today, I will bring you three areas in which Jude encourages us from our passage to persevere as we await the Lord's return. These three areas are as follows. As Christians, we must persevere in sanctification. As Christians, we must persevere in contention. And as Christians, we must persevere in glorification. And we'll unpack each of these as we go on. The first being, as Christians, we must persevere in sanctification. Jude writes again in verse 20, contrasting the Christians with those false teachers. He says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life." After reminding us of the words of the apostles regarding those false teachers in the last times, the day that we live in today, Jude then encourages us to persevere through these contentious times by leaning into what the Bible calls sanctification. Now, sanctification is the biblical doctrine that teaches that the converted sinner, once saved by Christ, begins a lifelong process through which he is being conformed more to the image of Christ. The Christian learns to hate and kill his own sin and love and become more like Christ with each passing day of his life. Now, Jude does not explicitly use the word sanctification here in our text, but the doctrine is clearly present, and I hope to make that argument well. You see, sanctification is both the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer and the work of the believer himself. The Spirit and the believer work in harmony to shake off those broken shackles of sin that Christ broke and put on the armor of God. The Holy Spirit is constantly giving the Christian the conviction against his sin and the strength to kill that sin. The Holy Spirit is giving the Christian the guidance and the desire, the drive to want to become more holy. The Spirit is enabling the Christian to fight for holiness. And as Christians, our part in this process of sanctification is to embrace it, to submit to the process of being changed, and then to daily take up the battle against our flesh and strive for holiness, using the disciplines that God has given us for our building up. This is what Jude is encouraging us as Christians to do in these days until Christ's return. "But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life." Here we see Jude challenging each of us in Christ to persevere in three activities that will help us, help sustain us, will help mold us into more Christ-like child of God. Three disciplines. We are first to work in building ourselves up in our most holy faith. This is done using that gift that God has given to teach us our faith. We as Christians must spend our lives studying deeply the words of God. We must build ourselves in our faith by knowing our Bible. The only way to know our most holy faith and to build ourselves in our most holy faith is to know the word on which our faith is founded. God has revealed the faith God has revealed the faith to us once and for all. God has revealed the faith through his law, through his prophets, through his kings, through his apostles, and most importantly, through his son. Our faith has been revealed to us through the Bible, and the only way that we can build ourselves up in the faith is by reading it and by taking it in consistently and constantly. Christians, build yourselves up in your most holy faith by reading and knowing the Word of God. Second discipline that Jude lists to help us persevere in our sanctification is praying in the Holy Spirit. Christian, with Christ as your Savior, you have already received the gift of the Holy Spirit. God Himself in Spirit, who now lives within you. And to pray in the Holy Spirit is to trust in His guidance in your prayer. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 8 that the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Here the Bible is telling us that the Holy Spirit actually takes our hopes and our desires, and he works to conform them to the will of God. Then he actually intercedes. He stands between God and man and speaks on our behalf, on the behalf of the Christian, delivering the prayer to God the Father, often speaking the very prayers that we don't even know how to pray. God, as the Holy Spirit, conforms our hearts to God's and enables us to pray prayers that honor him. God-honoring prayers are certainly contrasted to the self-honoring prayers of the false teachers that Jude writes of. To submit to the Spirit's shaping of our hearts and to submit to the Spirit's shaping of our prayers to match the will of God is to surrender our own self-fulfilling desires. That is sanctification. Embrace it. Pray in the Holy Spirit, Christian. We are then told to keep ourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Now, this is the main command of Jude's encouragement here. The first two disciplines, they are what help us to achieve this command. Building ourselves up in our faith and praying in the Holy Spirit both enable the Christian to keep ourselves in the love of God. So what is Jude encouraging us to do here? What does it mean to keep ourselves in the love of God? Well, the answer to that question can be understood when we look at the next clause of the encouragement. Keeping yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. As we've already noted this evening, and we can all affirm through our own experience in this fallen world, it can be hard to be a Christian at times in this world. It can be hard to be a bold Christian anyway. The world hates our king. The false teachers often present tempting false gospels that appeal to our sinful flesh. Or we may simply feel inadequate to keep our eyes on our king as the storms around us rage. We often want to look down and make sure our feet are firmly planted, trusting our own might over his. But Jude here is encouraging us to keep ourselves in the love of God. He's encouraging us to cling all the harder to Christ as the storms rage and the wolves howl. As our eyes are tempted to fall from our King, Jude encourages us to look to that coming day when Christ will return. Wait for that day when the mercy of Jesus Christ will be evident. As a Christian, you already know the mercy of Christ. But on that day, when he returns and he takes us home, when we are with God in his judgment room, that day God will look over our sin because Christ has already taken our lashes and Christ has already died our death. Wait for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life, in which we will never again be tempted, never again be hated, never again be lied to. When the storms of life are hard, when the battle seems impossible, look to the coming day of the Lord, when it will be over, and we will be with him, resting in his work for eternal life. The process of sanctification is hard because it requires us to kill our sinful flesh. It requires us to kill our sinful flesh, and our sinful flesh does not want that. Our sinful flesh wants to continue in its sin. And it's hard to fight against yourself. But Christian, persevere in your sanctification. And remember, it is the work of God himself that will get you to the end. Remember the words of Jude 1. To those who are called beloved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ. Church, he, Jesus Christ, is the one who saved us. He is the one who keeps us, and he is the one who will bring us through to eternal life. Persevere in sanctification. And as Christians, we must persevere in contention. We must persevere in contention. Or we could say we must persevere in battle, but contention rhymed with sanctification. Verse 22, and have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating the garment stained by the flesh. Jude, as he writes these final commands to the church, transitions from the Christian's personal devotion to Christ to the Christian's work with those people around him. We move from a personal relational to a relational encouragement. And Jude's encouragement has not wavered from his call to arms through the rest of the previous parts of this letter. Jude is still encouraging us as Christians to contend for the true faith revealed to us by God and to contend for those who are to be judged, contending against the legions of the enemy Satan for the souls of man. There are many who believe that these words in verses 22 and 23 are Jude's instructions for us and how to interact with Christians within the church who are at various stages of accepting the teachings of these false teachers. The teachers have come in, they have spread the false lies, and Christians are beginning to believe them and interact with them. Some believe that these words, these final words of Jude, are speaking explicitly to that group of people. But others believe that this is a more broad stroke, that we are speaking to broadly sinners who are on their way towards judgment around us. Now, I think the words of Jude, the encouragement of Jude here, rings true for both interactions either way. Persevere in our contention against false gospels and for the souls of man. And have mercy on those who doubt, Jude says. The gospel of Christ is, without the grace of God, impossible to accept by our own human logic. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians that it is folly, it is foolishness to those who are perishing. Again, the gospel of the cross. Why would an infinite and sovereign God allow his only Son to actually die for a creation that constantly rebels against him? Human logic, this doesn't make sense. Why would the Son be willing to die for the sinner? Foolishness to those who are perishing, Paul says. It isn't until God himself enlightens our minds that we are finally able to get the gospel and see the power of God in it. So when you're sharing the gospel with an unbeliever, and they cannot seem to grab a hold of the concept of the cross, or the holiness of God does not make sense to them, or the resurrection doesn't click in their understanding, or whatever hurdle they may be dealing with, do not be offended by their lack of belief. Do not become angry. Do not become agitated or impatient. But show mercy to those who doubt. Because it wasn't until God allowed you to understand the gospel that you were saved. Show mercy. Lovingly walk with the unbeliever through the hurdles and patiently guide them to the cross. Of course, doubters don't only exist outside of the church. Now, there's a fair share of legitimate Christians who simply find themselves doubting some aspect of the faith, or maybe even doubting their own faith itself. By the grace of God alone, I was saved at the age of 7. I truly believe that God saved me at that age. But I tell you, years after that young salvation, doubts did begin to creep into my mind. Could I really have understood sin and God's mercy at that age? Was that legitimate, or did I just do what I thought I had to do? It was the discipleship of godly men that God had put in my life who helped me to cling to my faith and understand God's sovereignty and salvation. Even sovereignty over the heart of a 7-year-old boy. My point is that my story could have looked a lot different had those godly men not shown mercy when my doubts arose. Those servants of the Lord could have simply dismissed my doubts as illegitimate or silly, but they didn't. They showed mercy, and the Lord used their discipleship to make my faith stronger. Save others by snatching them out of the fire, and to others show mercy with fear, hating the garment stained by the flesh. The world's full of unbelievers that are on their way to the flames of hell. The fire-bound souls, they are our neighbors. They are our co-workers. They are our children. As Jude has taught us, they are also found in many of our churches today, convinced of salvation, but through a false gospel. And any false gospel is only a salve that cools the pain until the day of judgment, only to dissolve once the misled sinner stands before the holy God in judgment. A false gospel convinces the lost that he is saved when he is not. The unrepentant sinner outside of the church and the unrepentant sinner that mistakenly stands within the fellowship of the church, they are both hell-bound. Christian, contend for their souls and snatch them from the fire. Hold the gospel out to those lost around you and show them the Savior who died that they may never spend a second in the flames. Tell them of the forgiveness of God and the mercy of Christ. I ask, is this you today? Are you the hell-bound sinner? Today, if you have not repented of your sins and begged Christ for this free gift of salvation, then the flames of hell are waiting for you. And this is my humble attempt to snatch you from them. Repent of your sins and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that we are to die and burn for eternity as the payment of our sin against the holy God. And this is what you will do tonight. Or not tonight, but this is what you will do if you do not believe in the Lord Jesus for salvation. But the Bible also tells us that Jesus Christ has already died for the sins of any man, woman, boy, or girl that surrenders to him. If any turns from their sin and asks Christ to save them, his death pays your price, and he is the one who snatches you from the flames. Sinner, be saved today. Christian, contend for the faith against the serpent Satan by sharing the gospel and seeing the sinner saved and snatched from the flames. And as you do, show mercy and hate even the garment stained by sin. We cannot truly serve our Christ wholeheartedly and boldly if we are still holding on to rags that have been stained by sinful flesh. No man can serve two masters. In order to faithfully and boldly and effectively contend for the faith, you have got to pick up the whole armor of God with both hands, which means that you have got to let go of the filthy rag that is stained by your sin. As Christ-honoring Christians, we must hate anything that tries to lash us to our old, dead flesh. Paul tells us that the old sinful man is dead and the new redeemed man has come to life. That sin-stained garment that Jude writes about, it is grave clothes that we must leave in the grave. Hate the flesh-stained garment of the dead sinner and put on the new clothes of the redeemed man that you may persevere in the battle for the faith. Finally, as Christians, we must persevere in glorification. That is, the glorification of our God. We must work to give Him glory. Jude's doxology, the end of his passage, or at the end of his book. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling, God is the one able to keep us through our sanctification, through the battle. He is the one who keeps us from stumbling. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to our God be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen, Jude writes. This is how Jude brings his letter to a close. He began this letter by reminding us that Christ keeps us, never allowing us to fall from salvation. And Jude closes it by reminding us yet again that God is the only one who is able to keep us from stumbling. God presents us through Jesus Christ to himself, preserved in our salvation, purified in our holiness, and righteous in our judgment. All the work of God alone. Christian, God is the one who saved us. Christ is the one who died for us and shows us mercy. The Holy Spirit is the one who sustains us through this hard life and sanctifies us in our faith. Jude encourages us to persevere until the day of Christ. God is the one who assures us that this will be the case. Those in Christ will be in Christ when Christ returns. Because of Christ. So we must not boast in our own ability to persevere. No, we do not deserve such praise, and we never will. It is God alone that deserves and holds all of that glory. It is God alone that holds all of that majesty, all of that dominion, and all of that authority. And it is God alone that has held it all before time. It is God alone that holds it now, and it is God alone who holds it forevermore. God alone be the glory. So as you and I persevere in our sanctification, as we persevere in our battle against false teachers, as we persevere in our fight for those souls around us, may we persevere in glorifying the God who has saved us. May we persevere in glorifying the God who holds us, who rules us, who loves us, and who will be worshipped for all of eternity. It is God alone that enables us to persevere. And it is God who promises to come and take us home. To him be the glory. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. Let's pray, church. Dear Father, to you be the glory. Lord, we can only hope to be faithful servants, faithful soldiers that contend for the gospel faithfully. But Lord, if it is not you holding our arms up, if it is not you giving us the sword, if it is not you giving us the boldness to swing the sword against the serpent, Lord, we can do nothing. Lord, you hold us. You preserve us until you will return, and you promise to return, and you promise to take us home where we will not have to worry about battle. Lord, preserve us and help us to persevere. Help us to serve you faithfully. And Lord, as we awake the coming day in which you do take us home, Lord, may we glorify you with everything that we've got. It's in your name we pray. Amen.